This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Phil Hendry at 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. And from the Beverly Hills Automobile Association and Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, a prominent businessman in the Beverly Hills area is going to join us, Ted Bell, in just a moment. But I want you to think about something. I want you to think about what it must be like to get $1 million when you're not used to being around that kind of money, because we're going to talk about that. We're not really going to be talking just about Survivor, but also about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Indeed, any program, anything. That there was an old TV show, and I heard them reference it on television yesterday, The Millionaire. And the basic premise of the show was a millionaire, and you never know what this guy looked like, and he would give his aide-de-camp, he would give his, you know, his underling, his associate, a $1 million check to go and give to some person out in the world. And so the show always started with, are you Mary Brown? Or somebody, yes, well, here's $1 million. And you have to spend it, or whatever. I forget what the provisos were, but it would show you how the money would change somebody's life. Ted, we're going to talk with Ted Bell about that. Ted, you are a businessman, so you never, I guess you could say you never won your money.
No, Phil, I never won any money in my life. Everything that I've got, I worked for.
All right, everything that you have, you worked for. Now, you see a show like Survivor, you see a show like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and you see people winning $1 million. What's it like? Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How much money are you worth?
Well, by the standards, I guess, of today's economy and today's money, it's very conservative. Probably.
I mean, your total assets.
Oh, my total assets somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 to $40 million.
And that's not really that much when you talk about the.
No, when you're talking about the Fortune 500, no, it isn't. But compared, I guess, to most people, yeah, I do have a lot of money. And I guess the good thing about that is I won't have to worry about taking care of my family. I have been smart, yes. I've been a good businessman, yes. I have been, I've gotten up early and gotten the bear before it got me. There are a few of us out there who know how to do business to the point where we have amassed a nice amount of money. Yes, I had to step on some people on the way up. I'm not proud of that. But it's either you or them, Phil. And when it comes to my family, and when it comes to my wife, and it comes to my kids, no one messes with me. And so when I went out into the world to make my fortune, that was uppermost in my mind. If I had to step on someone's head to try to get up the ladder, I was going to do it because I knew that I was doing this for my kids.
Yeah, but now we're talking about just somebody winning $1 million after being on a game show.
Well, I'll tell you something, Phil. I've been on the phone with Bill Melkin, Phil, over at Harper, at Haver Productions. And what I think concerns both of us is just, if you just give $1 million to some TV viewer without some kind of debriefing.
What do you mean by debriefing?
Well, Bill and I are both, we're both wealthy men, and we've been immersed in the money culture for a number of years. I don't think you give that kind of money to just any guy off the street. And what's happening now in television with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Survivor is you've got a lot of people out there who are just getting $1 million. Now, sure, they stayed on an island, they ate rat meat, they did whatever they had to do, but they don't know that kind of money. You've got to be debriefed. It can be a shock to the system. These people have money given to them on a television show, and I think are being done a very grave disservice. They are not ready for it.
Well, what if a guy just wins $1 million on a television show or wins $1 million on in the publisher's clearinghouse, let's say, what's the danger?
I just think the danger is they're going to run out, buy their Camaros. They think that's a luxury car. They buy a lot of jewelry that's paste stuff. They hang it around their necks. They get that gold cap teeth and the diamond stud. You know, they buy a lot of porcelain elephants and put them in the entryway to their house. They get a lot of black velvet Elvises. People who get money who don't know the first thing about money, they're working disaster areas. They end up making fools out of themselves, and they put a lot of pressure on the rest of us.
I'm talking with Ted Bell. This is some very frank stuff you're saying here, Ted.
I don't want to put anybody down, but I'm saying when you give just a... I've looked at some of these people that won $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and this Richard guy. These are just, they don't know money, and I think you've got to debrief them.
All right, we'll get into how you would debrief. In other words, how would you get somebody used to being around a lot of money?
That's exactly right.
But you said something. You said that they are putting pressure, these people who are on television winning $1 million who've never been around that kind of money.
Well, they've, they're coming from houses by out in Riverside or whatever. They got chain link fences around the house. They got a Camaro parked in the carport. They are, you know, they got the avocado green shag carpeting. They got maybe a Doberman pitcher up. That's fine. That's great. They take their summer vacation to Fraser Park. They win, you know, they have their mobile home and they take it to Lake Piru. I'm talking about, what are these people going to do to get some class? You can't buy class, and that's the first thing you need to learn. And
how are they putting pressure on the rest of us?
I think they're putting pressure on the rest of us, the rest of society. They're forcing us to look at their ridiculous purchases and stifle our internal bleeding-inducing laughter. I look at some guy who's won $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He runs out and buys himself a Z28, and I have to turn my head away and stifle the laughter at this poor loser. And thank God that Susan wasn't the winner. When this trash buys a black velvet Elvis and puts porcelain elephants in the entryway of her house, they only forced me to put my hand over my mouth and pretend like I'm coughing.
You're saying, in other words, that these people who are not used to winning $1 million buy stupid-looking stuff and make us laugh.
Absolutely. And I think in the long run, it really, really hurts.
All right, how would you debrief somebody who's not used to being around money?
How would I debrief them? I think a few stacks of bills at a time. I think you put the money in front of them. I think, honestly...
Now, be serious, okay?
I'm being serious.
How do you debrief somebody into being used to being around $1 million?
I honestly think you have to put the money in front of them. I think you have to say, here comes... Okay, this is Alexander Hamilton. This is a 10. Here comes a 20. It's Andrew Jackson. And lead them into that. Lead them up to Benjamin Franklin and Ulysses. Here comes Ben Franklin. Just... You see that? Then you put the money in their pocket. Because you're dealing with people, Phil, who are, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it's like to be around money. They're a little agog and aghast. But you put the money in their pocket. How's it feel, huh? You feeling good? You step back away from them. You look at them. A lot of times, that kind of cash in a guy's pocket is going to make a bigger bulge than what he's got in his pants. And I mean that, and I don't mean to...
Okay, we don't have to, you know...
No, but you know what I'm saying? In other words, he's going to look real... So that's at the first few stacks of bills at a time. Get them used to a lot of zeros. Put some of the money in their pockets. Introduction to the money clip, very important. These people think they can cram that kind of dough into a wallet. You got to have a money clip, not with dice or turquoise on it, just a money clip.
All right, Ted Bell is with us here. We're talking about the $1 million that is won by these people on these game shows. And unlike you, Ted,
how much do you think you're worth? I know that you're not a millionaire, but...
I'm not prepared to say that, okay? I don't have anywhere near the money that you've got, all right?
But I'm saying you're either used to money or you're not.
All right, for the people who are not used to money and who win it on a game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, how do you get them acclimated to having money? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number on the Phil Henry Show. You're talking about showing them catalogs?
Yeah, you got to get them the Sharper Image catalogs. There are people who used to... You know, these are people who used to drinking Blue Nun, Phil. How do you get them used to drinking good wine? They used to drinking Dry Sack. How do you get them used to drinking good sherry? They could go into shock. And I really, really believe that CBS has a duty not to release these newbie millionaires just out into our lawn parties without first acclimating them to the environment. Otherwise, I think it's a total, total embarrassment. And I've got to take a look at this white trash, and I say that with all due respect, like a Susan. And she ran out and got herself, she got herself a mobile home and parked it in the backyard. Wrong. I think that's wrong, and I think it hurts.
All right, Ted Bell with us, 1-800-449-8686. So, being a new millionaire, is it that easy? Ted Bell, who's worth between $20 and $30 million?
Between 30 and 40.
Between $30 and $40 million. Knows what it's like to be around money, and he thinks that these people are going to go into some kind of a sticker shock and buy all the wrong... What do you mean by buy all the wrong stuff?
You don't get $1 million and run out and buy a Camaro. You don't do it. It's not done.
So, in other words, a car that...
You're going to buy a Porsche. You're going to get a nice 58 Porsche or something like that. You get an antique or something. That's nice. You don't run out and get yourself a Ford Explorer, you know? So that's all we're saying.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell from the Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse, which, by the way, is featuring, you wanted me to mention, Ted?
Yeah, this weekend we're featuring a Porterhouse Steak, which is fantastic. You can get a Ted, too, which is a delicious cocktail. That's the Morgan's Captain Morgan's Rum, along with a Coke, the Ted, and the Porterhouse Steak this weekend at Ted's Beverly Hills. And, of course, we are taking our coupons only up until 9 p.m., the early bird special at 5. And I'd like to see people out there. Maybe you and Maria, Phil, this weekend.
We'll try. We got some friends visiting. You're a millionaire, and we're talking about giving $1 million to somebody like on a TV show like the Survivor show. And you said you've stepped on people on your way up the ladder.
I have.
What do you mean by that?
I am ruthless in business, and I will gut you and leave you on the side of the road. I mean, figuratively speaking. But I'm just saying, I know how to deal with $1 million. You give some guy $1 million on a TV show. Think about that. Just think about it. Here, hello, welcome to our TV show. Here's $1 million. You might as well inject methamphetamine into a panther and let it loose in a daycare center. Because
good Lord,
I'm serious. I
inject a panther with methamphetamine and let it loose in a daycare center?
You might as well. Giving $1 million to some guy who just rolled out of bed off of a cot. He didn't roll out of bed, he rolled out of a cot. And you put him on a TV show. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So you say debrief these people.
Debrief them.
All right, here is San Antonio, Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
You know, I have to say that your guest sounds like a snob. As if no one else in the world would recognize a good investment or know how to deal with money, except for this man.
I guess you guys can dream if you want to. I've done it. That's all I've
said. All I can say is if that's what money does to you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the old adage of be careful what you wish for.
Well, look, I got between $30 and $40 billion, and I just feel like the wrong people, if they get their hands on money. Let me ask you a question, okay? If you had $1 million, what would be the first thing you'd do with it?
I never want to have to be that ruthless to be proud of the fact.
No, I didn't say you got. Let's say you weren't ruthless.
I would leave someone gutless and bleeding on the roadway.
Ma'am, that's the only way to win in business: gut them and leave them on the road with their balls hanging out. And
I mean, that is, you know.
I'm not talking literally. I'm saying in the world of business.
Okay. Well, what I can tell you is,
hang their entrails over a clothesline and move on down the road. Now,
well,
I'll ask you again. What would you do, the first thing you do if you got $1 million, like on a TV show, like on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? What would you do with $1 million?
Well, you know, it's really kind of a...
you don't know, right? That's what I mean.
Nonsensical question.
That's what I mean. You don't know. So why should I give you $1 million?
I would invest it in my children's education, number one, and I would put them in the very best school
possible. That's what I'm talking about.
Talking about what?
What she just said, see? So, in other words, you don't know what to do.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. She just said she'd invest it.
I would go to a financial analyst, and I would sit down and try to decide the best thing to do with the money.
You know, the first thing that most millionaires do, they put $10,000 up their noses.
My husband and I, are both public servants, and we're very proud of it.
Well, then you'll never see $1 million, okay? Huh?
We'll never know what it is to have that kind of money, and I thank God for that, probably.
That's true. You keep working for the government, you won't be. But you know what? You'll have your pride. And there are days I go to bed in my home in Beverly Hills. By the way, we've got 14,000 square feet. And I'm lonely. You laughing?
Yeah, well, no.
Why are you laughing?
I have 6 children, and my home is full of love.
We have 14,000 square feet on 6 acres. Oh, God, the loneliness.
Oh, save it.
Well, I'm trying to make her feel good about being poor.
Yeah.
No, I'm not being poor, sir. I'm very rich. I have the love of my family and the pride in my
community. Yeah, I know. And you got the love of Jesus and your sweet green eyes. Yeah, I got it. So everything.
Oh, don't be so sarcastic, okay? The lady's making a point about family. And
yeah, I know she's all rich. I'm talking about the spending stuff, the cabbage. When you get that in your hands, when you feel Benjamin Franklin rolling around in your fingers, and you see Lady Luck just around the corner, then you tell me. I'll tell you what, right now, your face will turn bright red, your eyes are bloodshot, and you're going back to that blackjack table for one more hit. I don't care how much love you got in your house. The love in your house is upstairs,
you know,
asleep.
I've been
you just envision a bunch of pink flamingos sitting out your front yard.
Okay.
No,
that's it.
Sir, I'd like to say that we're both educated individuals.
All over that dirt lawn.
Okay.
You know, we both have master's degrees, and
I don't have a master's degree.
More educated than I.
If I see one more gold-colored Cadillac with gold-plated rims and a gold grill, I swear I'm going to vomit. And that's
what
comes.
Well, you sound like a snob.
No, ma'am. That's what comes of giving $1 million to these people on the Who Wants to Be a Jackass show.
Oh, well, you know what? You're the only one who recognizes what to do with the money.
Well, I've had to do some questionable things, but my family is secure.
Oh, man.
I certainly wouldn't be proud of that.
All right.
My family is also secure.
Hardly. Not on a government salary.
Absolutely on a government salary.
Roger.
Okay, Ted. I mean, it's like you're in competition with this lady. Thank you very much.
With the love of the Lord, that's how they're secure? Come on.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show, talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Why are you sarcastic?
I'm not being sarcastic. I am giving them an idea of the cutthroat, brutally cutthroat, bloodletting world of millionaires that they're going to be into if they decide they want to go on Who Wants to Be... Is it a millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
They go on that show.
Santa Rosa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes. I don't know where you live. I understand it's in Southern California.
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh.
Well, you sound like you live in Beverly Hills, but I'm
Thank
not
you.
A rich person. But if I was to be handed $1 million today.
What would you do with it?
Let's see. I think I'd do something real crazy, like buy a Camry.
There you go.
And
a
then
Camry.
I might really jump on out there and buy a house that was a small 1,500 square foot, three bedroom.
That's what I'm talking about. It makes
and
me...
then I'd take and put the rest in a living trust so that my son and I would be taken care of.
Well, here's the problem with what you just said. Again, you don't know how to wear that bunny. And
no, but did you hear what she said? She wants to buy a conservative car, get a nice house, put it in.
You got to wear $1 million, Phil. You don't sit there and say, oh, my goodness, I better go get myself a used car. You can't hang on to it. You ever heard the saying, man?
And you don't wear $1 million.
You got to look
good with it. You let it work for you.
What would you do with this lady if you were debriefing her?
I would put a couple of bundles of cash in her purse. I'd say, what's your name, dear?
Sherry.
I'd say, Sherry, how's it feel? How's that million feel on you?
Well, I certainly wouldn't pin it on my chest.
Well, some people walk with a limp. The money's heavy. They don't know how to move.
And other people have the money, and they don't know how to be a regular person.
The problem is when
you
you're in the
$1 million
range,
your money.
You got to wear a million dollar range. I got to drive down the road and feel comfortable that you're next to me with your $1 million.
I beg your pardon, my best friend.
A lot of
has
women with
that kind of money.
So
and
you're telling
she
me you
doesn't
wouldn't
wear it on her sleeve. And she doesn't
well, you wouldn't put any of that
a gold Mercedes.
You're telling me you wouldn't put any of that money into your breasts? Not a nickel?
Not a dime.
Oh,
I have
boy.
Big enough ones now.
This is what I'm talking about, Phil.
So in other words, for her to wear it well, she's got to...
The first thing you do is a breast enhancement.
I don't
That's
think
one.
So.
Oh, come on!
I don't
this is
think
what I,
so, because the only reason I'd need a breast enhancement would be to impress somebody like you, and that isn't necessary.
No, what I'm saying is...
Why does she have to go out and have a breast enhancement with $1 million?
When you become a millionaire, whether it's on Survivor or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you got to start looking the part, walking the walk. You got to move as if you're not limping. You got to get rid of that splayed foot gait and that pigeon-toed thing. Excuse me.
Oh, yes, we can yeah. tell how well-bred you are.
I'm sorry, I had something to eat.
God, you are disgusting.
I had
my
some dinner.
My best friend
if
is worth
really
more
big,
than
you
that. And my best friend does not run around flaunting her wealth.
If your
and
breasts
my
are
best
that big, you could get them
not
lifted and your
breast
nipples
implants.
Reduced. What?
My best friend has not gotten breast implants. She is comfortable with her status, which is not new money. It's old money.
Old money, yeah.
And she is just a regular, normal person and doesn't act, sound, or think like you do.
All right.
I would bet that your money is new
easy
and it
for you to
old.
Say when you're rich. Easy for you to say when you're poor. But when you get rich, you come knocking on my door, okay?
Well,
we'll get another peek at that chest of yours.
Is
I
old
got a
money,
plastic surgeon.
And she doesn't do it.
I got a plastic surgeon. You get $1 million, you come on see Ted Bell, we'll take a peek at your chest, and I can tell you right now, we can make that even better.
I don't care about it. You do.
I'm talking about you and your happiness.
I am happy.
You'd rather go out and buy a Camry than have those things lifted?
Yes, I would, actually.
Well, I think that's sad. I feel sorry for you.
Well, I think it's sad that you think having breast implants is more.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And we're talking to Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse about the new crop, the new generation of millionaires. There's a lot of money out there, though, Ted. These Who Wants to Be a Millionaire millionaires, these survivor millionaires, they aren't the only ones.
Well, the other millionaires you're talking about, though, are people who came by it, came into that money by way of hard work. Okay, they didn't do it the trailer way. They didn't sit on the sofa and watch a game show and cut out box tops and luck their way into it, all right? These are hardworking people. So when you work for your money, you understand what it takes to keep your money. You know how to walk. You're not, in other words, you put on $1 million. Let's say you buy a beautiful dress that costs a fair piece of change. Maybe it's a $1,300 dress. You're going to walk a certain way that either makes you look like you don't belong in it or you do. If you work for it, you do. But if you cut out box tops for it, you're going to look like a, you know, you look like the nose-picking rube that you are. So what we're trying to do is make sure that when you walk into a restaurant that I go into, you walk into a club that I frequent, that you're not bumping into the silver server, you're not knocking over the maitre d', you're not falling over somebody's table, that you're not drawing too much attention to yourself. Otherwise, I have to put my hand over my eyes and pretend like I'm reading the menu.
Why does it matter to you if a guy knocks over a tea service or...
That I have to look up and see, and I, you know which... You know, please know which forks to use, okay? Otherwise, I got to look up and see you using the wrong fork?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I feel sorry for you.
Because you got to look at some guy using the wrong fork. All right, here is Salt Lake City on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi. My question is,
yes, sir.
What does it matter what they spend their money on as long as it makes them happy?
Well, first of all, if it makes them happy, that's a
It's not your money. I mean, it's obviously not your money. They got the money. It doesn't matter how they lucked into it.
I have to look at it, okay? See, a lot of these people
you have to look at it. Obviously, you don't have enough money to not look at it.
I got to watch these people bumble their way into buying draft beer. I got to watch these people bumble their way into thinking that TGIY Fridays is some kind of a luxury restaurant. I have to watch them bumble their way through the purchase of a brand new, motorhome? No, that's not why God put me on this planet.
It doesn't matter.
It causes me...
If that comes into your restaurant and he drops a $1,500 tab...
First of all, what am I talking to you about it? What do you know about having that kind of money?
Hey, I inherited my money, man.
Oh, you inherited your money, huh? How much money you got?
And me personally or family money?
Let's talk about you personally.
Me personally, about $6
million. Let's talk about the money that you're able to spend.
What, pardon me?
What kind of money are you able to spend?
Let's see. What am I able to spend? Probably about $100,000 a year.
What's the last thing you bought?
What's the last thing I bought?
Yeah.
I bought a house.
There you go. That's what I mean.
Well, what kind of a house did you buy?
What kind of house did I buy? I bought a four-bedroom house in the hills.
A four-bedroom house in the hills? You mean
I'm a single
like
guy.
29
I don't know,
pounds
I don't
where you got a big satellite dish out back and there's no cable and no gas?
Oh, yeah. I don't need 1,500 square feet
so what
to try and convince me that I'm a cool guy.
Wait a minute.
Though,
you got a big propane tank out back?
What's the point that you're trying to boost your ego by
buying
material
goods? I'm
trying to
boost my ego. I just want to know, do you have your own gas or is it propane?
God, man.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't figure that out.
What kind of a house did you buy?
They obviously try and convince yourself buying bigger things makes you a cooler guy.
No, I'm just saying
that
I have
that isn't the way that it works,
it's
man.
It's the kind of money
you
that I got.
You can have all the money in the world, and if you can't figure out how to spend
You know as well as I do, if you saw that Susan girl from Survivor stumbling into your club, some old Camaro in the driveway, right? She stumbles into the club. She knocks over the maitre d'. She's throwing tip money at, like, busboys. You'd be embarrassed.
Hey, you know the busboys aren't worried about it.
Hey, I'm worried about it. That's my place. That's where I eat. I don't want to look at that.
You don't want to look at
about somebody. The first thing she should have done is gone out and get the breast enhancement. Because
we got the breast enhancement already.
What's with you and breast? Why are you worried about breast?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a strange thing. As a guy, I like them.
You like
all right.
them?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here as we're talking to Ted Bell about newbie millionaires from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire from Survivor. You haven't answered the question why it is you don't like to see people stumbling around who just got $1 million, knocking over the tea service, bumping into the maitre d', falling down in the ivy, maybe too drunk to get their car from the valet. Hey, they're celebrating. What's the problem?
You know, Phil, the more you ask that question, the more you just don't get...
Explain it to me, man. I don't have your kind of money. Explain it to me.
No, it's too sad.
What's sad?
The fact that I have to explain it to you. It's sad. that I have to explain to you why I'd be upset to see Susan, with the size of those breasts, walking into my bar.
Yeah, tell me why it's sad.
Okay, next call.
Look, I want you to make an effort at explaining this to me, man, before we go much further, okay?
Real sad.
Montana, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that since when did you have to wear your $1 million on the sleeve just because you have it?
You got to go out and spend it, otherwise, I'm not saying wear it on the sleeve either. I'm talking about on the breasts.
Oh, God.
All right?
Well, the other thing is most of these people, they don't realize it, but they're not going to end up with $1 million.
Who am I talking to? What are you, a lumberjack? How much money, what would you do with $1 million?
I'd pay my truck off first.
You'd pay your truck off?
Yeah.
And then would you try to, I bet you'd sell it then and get yourself a what?
I'd what now?
You'd probably get yourself a big F-150 or something, right?
No.
Pay off your truck with $1 million. You know what?
I'd buy a couple more and then
give me the wrong answer, Phil.
Why did he give you the wrong answer?
He should have said, I'd drive my truck off a cliff, not pay it off.
My truck makes me money right
now.
If I pay it off, I make even more money.
Hey, you can buy yourself a new truck. That proves to me he doesn't know what he's doing.
And why does that prove it?
Because with $1 million, you drive your truck off a cliff, you don't pay it off.
Oh,
okay, good luck. I hope the Christmas tree business is good this year. What?
If I followed your leads on financial advice, I'd be broke and out of business.
No, broke and out of business, you got to spend a buck to make a buck, okay? What are you hauling in the back of that thing anyway? Furniture?
No, I haul cars.
You what?
I haul cars.
You haul cars?
Yeah, it's a big truck. Semi.
Drive it off a cliff.
Oh,
with the cars on it.
All right, sir. 1-800-449-8686. San Diego on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. I thought he was talking about a small truck, too.
Well, even if the big truck.
San Diego, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
My question is...
we don't take questions on this show. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I sure do.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, you don't take questions.
No.
Why can't I answer a question?
Because it's boring to hear people ask questions. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, I just don't
Jesus
understand...
Jesus H. Christ.
And would you watch your language, please?
I'm sorry.
What types of credentials does this man have to speak on behalf of the wealthy?
I'm $30 to $40 million worth. Those are my credentials. You want to see my bank statement?
I don't care. My point is, who cares? That gives you the right to speak on behalf of everyone who has money?
If you don't have $1 million, I can't do you much good. But if you do have $1 million, I can tell you how to begin to even look right spending it. And I can tell you how to begin to even start to look right carrying it around in your purse, okay? But if you don't have $1 million, you don't really know what I'm talking about, okay? I got 14,000 square feet, 6 acres. I've got 2 pool houses.
And?
Okay, I've got a garage. I got 4 or 5 different cars. All right? People with $1 million care, honey. You don't, because you're still trying to figure out where you put the tip money. But I'm sitting here.
Okay.
No, that's not true.
Well, you know, people with $1 million care, to answer your question. And for the fact that you have to ask that question, you don't have $1 million, but you keep saving your quarters.
What a jackass.
Who, me?
Yeah!
First of all, sir, you don't know how much money I have. And secondly...
How much you got in the tip jar right now?
In my tip jar?
Yes.
About $4 million.
Well, there you go. A lot of lap dances. I hope it was worth it. And don't get busted.
Get busted doing what?
1-800-449-8686, San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Ted, how you doing today?
I'm doing real good.
How long have you had your $14 million?
$40 million.
$40 million. How long you had it?
Oh, I don't know. Probably since I got out of high school.
Well, how long is that?
That's been about 20 years.
20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I are about the same age. You're about a little younger than I am.
I'm 38. How old are you?
A 45.
Well, we're not the same age.
No. Well, we're close.
No, we're not.
Well, your opinion. That's
no,
fine.
That's fact.
You know, you to me sound like you're new rich.
Nope, I've had it for a long time. 20 years, I think I said.
What did your father do?
What would you do with $1 million? I'm not answering
the
question.
Not $1 million, Han.
You what?
Several million.
You do have $1 million.
Several million.
Then what would you do with $1 million?
I'd invest it.
In what?
Well, let's see. I'm in the oil business. I'm in the cattle business. I'm in various sundry other investments.
Oil and cattle. I got a restaurant. I use both of those.
You know what?
I got a steakhouse.
You know what? If I was a customer of yours, I would tell you to stick your steakhouse right where the...
Well,
Well, basically...
Did you hear the mouth on him?
Basically, what you said was you have some of the best steaks west of the Mississippi, and he said that was bull crap.
You know something? That guy has got horns on his Cadillac, and that's the God's truth.
Well, you know what? What we tried to do is educate people at horns on his Cadillac.
You got it.
Well, we tried to educate people as to what it's like to have a lot of money, and all you did really was insult people and their dreams.
You know, I thought you were going to have some people listening to your show who got $1 million. All I got was a couple of people calling up from the farm. What would they do with $1 million, and what's it to you, and all of this stuff. Get out of here.
Well, what did you think of that Survivor show?
Excuse me. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was an interesting...
I'm going to hang up on you.
Well, wait a minute.
All right, anyway, Ted's got $40 million, and that the dude from Survivor's got one. Well, actually, after taxes, what do you figure he's got, about $550,000? After taxes, that guy's got about $550,000. But with the endorsements, let's make that about $10 million. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Well, I guess at this time we'd probably say something like, what would you do with $1 million? But I'd rather not. I'd rather not strangle on my own spit. You know, when you get people calling up, you ever heard that? You know, what would you, give us a call here and tell us what you do with $1 million. You know, I could either do that or I could pull my own teeth out with these pliers. One or the other, sit on a railroad spike. I don't know. It ain't going to happen to me. I know that my lot in life has always been to work, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm never going to score the big hit. I'm not waiting for it, and I'm not saying that if you are, you're stupid. I'm not saying that. I love these people who say, oh, you're buying a lottery ticket, you're an idiot. You know, you'll never win. And then the next thing you know, the guy wins. So how can you say that? Maybe he will. The only idiot here is the guy that says you're an idiot for buying a lottery ticket. It's a lot of sour grapes. And I get in line with all those people when the lottery rolls around, when it's fat and, you know, it's a real fat jackpot. But screw it, man. I know I ain't ever going to score. I'm not a good gambler. I'm not good at the track. As much as I love to watch the horses run, I don't really bet that much money at the track because I'm going to lose it. And I'm a halfway decent poker player if I'm playing with my friends. But if I go to Vegas and I start hitting blackjack, or God forbid I should sit in a poker game up there, I get hammered. And people, by the way, who say it's stupid to buy a lottery ticket, hey, by the way, where are you going this weekend? We're going to Vegas. Oh, I see. It's stupid to buy a lottery ticket, but you're going to go up there and pull the handle on some dumb machine that's going for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 18 hours until you walk out of there talking that way. How you doing, Harry? Yeah, sure. So, you know, the Mexicans go down to the liquor store and buy their lottery tickets, and all the white trash goes out to Laughlin, but we're all looking for the same thing, the big score. And all I'm saying, and I'm saying to you, God bless you, man, because it ain't never going to happen to Phil Hendry. I'm going to be working to the day I die. I'm hoping someday I can pull off some, I don't know, sell a screenplay, put together some project, some kind of a Ralph Cramden harebrained scheme, you know, something that can bring a few dollars into the family and then I don't have to work anymore. But until that day comes, forget it. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to have to come here and just cash the paychecks. That's the way it is. Am I a negative thinker? No, I just know what my strengths are. And I know that I'm a worker. I never set out in my life to make $1 million. I never set out to say, I'm going to make money. Because I'm a firm believer I believe that if you set out and say, my object in life is to make money, you never will. You have to find something you like. You have to find something that you're good at. And if you're not good at anything, then you should say, I want to go make money. And basically what that means is you buy and sell stuff that other people are good at. So if you're no good at anything other than buying and selling the works and the efforts and the sweat and the blood of other people, go do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's an honorable thing. I work in a business where the people who make a lot of money in my business, that's what they're engaged in. They're buying the sweat, the blood, and the tears of people who create. So when you read about the Mel Karmazans or the Sumner Redstones or whoever these guys are, those guys don't create anything. They just buy and sell other people's creations. You'll notice we've been dropping those names recently on this program in disparaging ways. I don't know why. I must have a problem. I'm going to have to go talk to my psychologist. Have I got a problem with those guys? I guess so. They're old and they're rich. Okay, let's go into the Harriet Carter Distinctive Gifts Since 1958 catalog, because I think there's something in here for you. And when I think of my audience, the first thing I think of is this is in the Harriet Carter Distinctive Gifts Since 1958 catalog, a mole pole. It scares off burrowing rodents with harmless high-pitched vibrations. And the picture here shows a mole running for its life, as you see this pole vibrating there in a mole burrow. So get that mole pole, folks. See what else we have here. Oh, look at this. There's a little Betty Boop Who's in the Kitchen Betty Boop apron. That's nice. Here's something I think a lot of families should have. Do you saw lumber while you slumber? Try Nosevent. Here's a safe, easy way to reduce or even eliminate annoying and unhealthy snoring. Simply take two large rubber plugs and shove them up the noses of your children. Then you don't hear any... No, I'm kidding. Soft latex device fits comfortably in your nostrils. Oh, my God, that's true. You jam two plugs up your husband's nose, and he dies, but he ain't snoring. And how about that baby that snores while it's laying on its back? Well, just drop something into his little mouth, because he's going... And you just drop an orange in there. Soft latex device fits comfortably in your nostrils to help nighttime breathing, reduce snoring, and result mouth dryness. You won't even know it's there. Invented by a European ear, nose, and throat specialist, stolen from him, brought to the United States, and we're making the money on it. Proven successful in clinical studies. If you see this thing, it's like they're wearing some Watusi nose ring. See that? It's like a little nose ring. Two little kids just sleeping comfortably with a Watusi thing in their face. And by the way, the lip discs come separately. And you can also elongate your forehead. Speaking of Coyote Ugly, I forgot to tell you guys this. What's up with Tyra Banks's 8-head? You know, that movie was pretty good, and I told you it was about empowering women. There's only if Tyra Banks could not talk, then we'd have a great film. Just don't say anything, Tyra. With all due respect, you're beautiful, you're a great model. Someday you may make a good actress, but somebody gave you lines in that movie. Bad move. Tweety Bird. What's with that forehead? She's got the little Tweety Bird forehead with the one thing. She's losing her hair. She does. She's got a, like, a ever-widening... Look at this. Craig Taylor. There's nothing I can say to him to convince him that Tyra Banks is frightening-looking. But I guess... Farting slippers break wind as you walk. They're a gas. Present these sound-off slippers to any fart-tunette old-timer and get ready for explosive laughter. One size fits all. So when the guy walks, it's farting. The shoe is releasing gas and fartings. So the guy's walking and sounds like this... And the whole family just erupts with laughter, and Grandpa, as he's farting in the shoes, goes to the closet, pulls out a shotgun, and you've got In Cold Blood. Now, moving on. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that, given the story that we read this morning about that was pretty gruesome. I don't want to go into it, but, oh, man, that Merced thing with the pitchfork. By the way, where is that pitchfork I gave you, Mike? Oh, don't know where it is, huh? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.